parts of my homily. Aren't you excited? Three for the price of one. And so let me just tell you, yesterday was the feast day of Saint Benedict. Then on Thursday of this week, we have Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And both of these are attached to various sacramentals that are of utmost importance in our beautiful Catholic tradition. And Our Lady of Mount Carmel, whose feast is this Thursday, is the one who bestowed this upon the church. This is called a scapular. Now, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, it was a lot bigger than this, but it is now this size. And most scapulars say the words that Mother Mary spoke to Saint Simon Stock when she gave the scapular to the church. Whosoever should die wearing this scapular shall not suffer eternal fire. And so there's an enrollment in the scapular. Of course, you have your scapular blessed. In next week's bulletin, I will have a lot of information about the scapular and about the Saint Benedict medal, because both of these are sacramentals that are utmost importance. The scapular is a way of just saying, Mother Mary, help me to just live under your mantle. You who interceded at the first miracle of Jesus and who intercedes in them all, you who are so beautifully dedicated to our Lord, you who are so wonderful and so virtuous, like Mother Mary, you're my example. And I fly to you for your help in intercession. So the scapular is huge. Most people wear it underneath, as I do, underneath their clothing. And so I always have mine on. Then the Benedict medal. Now, this one happens to be in a crucifix, but I only got it because it was sitting on a table. But anyway, it's also because it's big, and you can't still see it. But the Benedict medal, the one that I wear, is very small. And, of course, I also have that on my bracelet. Many people wear these bracelets with religious medals. Mine has Divine Mercy, and it's got the Benedict medal, the Miraculous medal, all kinds of things, all the big ones. And so some people also will carry the Benedict medal in a rosary, because the Benedict medal is very commonly placed in rosaries. And of course, we would never want to be without a rosary. And so this is a way of the Benedict medal is so powerful. On the front, it's just an image of him. He lived in the 5th century into the 6th and founded the monastic tradition of our church. And on the front of the medal, it's just him with the rule that still to this day, monks at St. Minard are living by it. The nuns in Beech Grove are living by it. Monks and nuns across the world are living by, according to the rule of St. Benedict. In his other hand on this front of the image is the cross. On the back is the good stuff, okay? This is all these letters, and you kind of look at it, you think, what in the world is going on here? Well, it's Latin. It's Latin acronyms. So on the top is for Pax, for peace. But then going down on the cross is, may the holy cross be my light. And then going horizontally is, let not the dragon be my guide. The dragon as in the devil. And then going along the sides, be gone, Satan. And then, never tempt me with your vanities. And then, what you offer is evil. And then my favorite, drink your own poison. This is the Benedict medal. We Catholics have this tradition of carrying the Benedict medal around us and having it in rosaries and crosses, in our pockets, around our necks, around our wrists. Why? Because the enemy is out there and he is vicious. But Jesus is a billion, infinitely times more powerful and more wonderful. And the Benedict medal is a way of, these are exorcism prayers that we carry with us to say, not me, Satan. Not me. Get away. Be gone. Drink your own poison. And so I highly recommend these two saints that we have these days here. I highly recommend the practice of the scapular and the Benedict medal. As I told you, there will be more where that came from in the bulletin next weekend. Okay? The second part of my homily is Gosh, it's good to be a Catholic. When you read this gospel, you will find our Catholic dogmas very beautifully, some of them beautifully laid out here. Also, you can read this parable, this gospel, in a way that kind of insists against certain false doctrines that have crept up in the last few hundred years. And one of those false doctrines is sola scriptura, which means only the Bible, only the scripture. Now, we Catholics were like, what are you talking about? Because the Bible is a product of the Catholic Church. It was Catholic bishops who sat together with the Holy Spirit in the 4th century and determined with the Lord what books are going to be in the Bible. How are we going to lay this out? What's making it? What's not? So the Bible is a product of the Catholic Church, which existed for 400 years before the Bible, as we know it, even came. Okay? So, like, obviously we are like, why would you ever think sola scriptura? But that is a belief that there are many people who hold. And the reason that this gospel sort of speaks against that is because look what happens. Jesus tells a parable, and they say, why are you telling a parable? And then he quotes Isaiah. And then he explains. He explains the parable even further. He's trying to help them to understand. And here's the thing. When the apostles go to Jesus and they say, we don't understand your parable. Give us an authentic interpretation. Teach us. So they go to Christ and he teaches them. He says, well, this is what I'm talking about. This is the seed on the rocky ground. This is the one on the path, what that signifies. This is the one in the thorn bush, but this is the one in the... So he explains everything. We Catholics, thank God it's not just up to you and me. I have my interpretation of it. You have your interpretation. You have yours. I want Christ's. I want his interpretation. So what do we Catholics do when we don't know what to make of a scripture? We go to the church. We go to Christ, whose mystical body is the Catholic Church. And one of the three legs of the stool is magisterium. It comes from the Latin word magistrar, which means teacher. So the mystical body of Christ, Christ himself, teaches us the way to understand various scriptures. Isn't that powerful? Sola scriptura, it seems a little odd. Doesn't it? Because we wouldn't even have the Bible without our magisterium, our tradition, and all of it together complements and helps the Catholic to live a happy, holy life and to understand things properly. The second false doctrine that this gospel really beautifully kind of speaks against would be sola fide, only faith. Now, we are saved by faith. We're saved by Christ. We're saved by our allegiance to Christ. But what this gospel, what Jesus says here, is that it's not enough to just speak it, to hear it. You gotta bear fruit. Because that was the problem that Jesus identifies with the seed that falls on the path, and then the seed that falls on the rocky ground, and then the seed that falls on the thorns, is that all three of these seeds are not producing anything. But he says, oh, but the seed that falls in the rich soil, that's the one that bears fruit. We're not saved by our works. No, we're saved by our faith, which, if it is real, has works. Works and faith are friends. That is our Catholic position has been since the very beginning. The final a sort of false doctrine that this gospel really beautifully refutes and speaks against would be that of the doctrine of eternal security. Once saved, always saved. You know, which there are many people that would hold that. But we Catholics say, no, no, no. The life of the disciple is a continuous cooperation with grace, a continuous living in Christ. I can't just say one time, yeah, I'm saved and be saved forever, because Jesus says that the seed that falls on the rocky ground, it's all happy at first. There's joy, but there's no root, and it only lasts for a bit, and then tribulation, thing falls away. And then he says the seed that goes on thorns, it hears, but then there's this, all the things of the world, the forces of the world come and choke it. So what he's saying is it's possible to begin well and then fall away. And that's not good. Even the other day in the daily mass reading, Jesus said, he who perseveres to the end will be saved. Not the one who starts out and quits. The one who perseveres to the end. And so Jesus lifts up then the seed that is sown on rich soil, that hears and understands and remains and bears fruits 30, 60, 100 fold. Isn't that beautiful? So this is that's a theological kind of reading. I gave you a practical thing with the Benedict Medal and the scapular. I've given you theological insight here up to this gospel. Let me end with this, a spiritual message, and that is, our Jesus is so beautiful. He will never stop throwing seeds. And you think to yourself, that seems a little odd that this farmer would just be throwing seeds everywhere. Like on the path, what are you thinking about? Or on the thorn bush or on the rocks, like, hello. But Jesus, St. John Chrysostom said, Jesus will never give up on you. And so maybe your heart is broken, maybe it's hardened, maybe it's the most stubborn thing ever, maybe it's polluted, maybe it's filled with sin and poison, but Jesus is still going to be throwing seeds at us. He won't stop. He won't stop. He has this infinite amount of seeds that he's just going, And our job, my friends, our job is to go in front of the Lord in the scripture. Let him throw the seeds at us. Mother Teresa read one verse, and it was, I thirst, and she started the Missionaries of Charity. Our job is to go in front of Jesus in the scriptures. Miller Fuller is the founder of Habitat for Humanity. He founded that thing because he read one verse from Matthew 25, and a seed was planted in that man's heart, and look what's happened. You see, we go in front of the Lord in the scripture, in spiritual reading, and in the Eucharist, especially the Eucharist. We go in front of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, and from the monstrance, he is throwing seeds upon everyone who goes in front of him. Isn't that fantastic? Like, he's just throwing seeds left and right. Almost all of our seminarians are in the seminary because at one point or another they were in front of Jesus in the Eucharist and he threw seeds into their heart of vocation. But we go in front of our Lord and he's throwing seeds at us left and right. And maybe sometimes when we go before him in the Eucharist, we're distracted or we're anxious or we're sad or we're annoyed or we're frustrated or we're sleepy or we're happy. He's going to never stop throwing seeds at us. But our job is to go there, to open our heart, to say, Jesus, till the soil so that these seeds will germinate and bring forth fruit, 30 or 60 or even 100-fold. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.